Dear God, we just thank you so much. It has been an awesome day of worship. It has been an awesome day to focus on you. The fact that you have made a way for us, that we are free because of your blood. And that we've had the opportunity to welcome a brother to our fellowship here who has chosen you above so many other things in this world, that he is putting you first. And it's just awesome to get to be a part of that. We pray that you be with us as we continue this morning, that we put you first, that you are the center of all we do, that we remember that we are not here for ourselves. We are here to honor and to love you. We thank you, Jesus. Amen. Over the past several days, there's been a constant theme that has been popping up in my life. Not necessarily in my life, but the things I notice. I do not believe in coincidences. I do not believe that things just happen. We were in Sunday school this morning, and we were going through Romans chapter 6, and Sean looks right at me and says, you're talking about this because I got baptized yesterday. I said, Sean, I can show you in the book the Sunday school material that I use. This is the next lesson. I did not plan this at all. There was a time a few months ago where it was like 6 Sundays in a row. What we talked about in Sunday school, Mel talked about from the pulpit. There are other people, I'm not going to point them out in here, but they always complain that their Sunday school lessons always match with what is being preached. I do not believe in coincidences. I believe that God repeats his messages to us over and over because, let's face it, we are slow and we don't pick up on the messages that God is giving us. The theme that's been popping up to me over and over and over this week is that of evil. Wednesday, I woke up and I was driving somewhere and was listening to the news and listened to the report of the CBS reporter and her cameraman that were murdered by a disgruntled former employee. You see, he was mad and upset because he thought he'd been fired because he was a gay black man and they thought that's why he'd fired him. So he decided that he wanted to get revenge on the TV station by committing an act of murder on live TV. And he videotaped himself doing it and then posted it on his Twitter account because he wanted to start a race war. I really don't care what your political opinions are. I do not care what you think about gun control. I don't care what you think about race. I don't care what you think about mental illness. None of those are the root cause of why this man committed such a horrible act. Evil is why he committed such a horrible act. Then Thursday, I was on Facebook, and I saw a post about John Rhys Davies. I love John Rhys Davies. He's the guy that plays Gimli in Lord of the Rings. I absolutely love him. He was the tallest person in the Lord of the Rings, and he played a dwarf. To me, that's just amazing. I love listening to the things that he says. I love watching his movies. He's an excellent actor. And so I was reading this article about an interview that he had given. He was being interviewed because he was part of a movie that was talking about Dutch Christians who protected Jews during World War II from the Nazis. And so he was talking about his role in this movie, and during their discussion, the topic of evil came up. And the interviewer asked him, "Why do we not recognize evil? It has popped up so many times in our country, in our world, and our history. Why, in 2015, have we forgotten that there is evil out there, and sometimes it needs to be dealt with as it is?" See, the interviewer was talking about ISIS. He was talking about a group who goes out and kills Christians, enslaves and rapes women and children. And what are we doing about it? We have reports on the news, but we're not really doing anything about it. There's also Iran right now. We've got this nuclear deal with Iran, and I listened to John Kerry on the radio Friday. I almost turned the radio off because it made me so mad, but John Kerry was on there talking about there are four Americans that are imprisoned in Iran, and he wanted to focus on one of them. It's sad that this U.S. Marine has been in prison for 4 years. It is sad, but is that the only thing you're going to focus on? How about the three Christians that are in prison for the fact that they are Christians? The Marine is in prison because he was imprisoned for spying. Pastor Saeed has been in prison, beaten almost to the point of death so many times, and they will admit he is in here because he was preaching the gospel of Christ. But do we ever mention that? No. We make a peace deal with a country that wants to destroy us. Evil is in the world. John Rhys Davis' response to this, when asked this question, he says, "We have lost our moral compass completely. And unless we find it, we are going to lose our civilization." We have lost our moral compass completely. When we lose our compass, it is impossible to distinguish which direction we are going. I am directionally challenged. I get lost very, very easily. It's a shock to my wife that I was one of the best pizza delivery men in Indianapolis when I get lost all the time. You ask me which direction north is, I couldn't tell you. I think it's that way, but I'm just guessing. I cannot tell directions. If you throw me in the woods without a compass, I'm lost. Renee's laughing because we went to a track meet and I was lost for an hour trying to find a hotel that was really easy to find. I don't do directions because I do not have a good compass. So I get lost. Evil exists. We need to be able to distinguish it. Yesterday when watching the War Room, one of the lines that I thought was absolutely just spot on. Woman says that we fight lots of meaningless fights because we're fighting the wrong enemy. You see, my wife is not my enemy. My kids are not my enemy. The idiot that cuts in front of me is not my enemy. Evil is my enemy. Evil exists and is out there. But praise God, it is not the victor. Praise God, it does not have control over us. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 8, "So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death." We are freed from evil. Are we sometimes going to have to face the effects of evil in our world? Yes. But I am not afraid of evil because I know that my God reigns. He is still on his throne. It doesn't matter what happens. He is on his throne. But I don't want to focus on evil today. You know those people in your lives, your family members or coworkers, that they always want to focus on what the problem is. And they come in and they just want to talk about the problem and talk about the problem. No, what you're doing is you're complaining. I don't want to be that person today. I don't want to focus on evil. Evil's out there, but God wins. Let's focus on the winner and not the loser. Let's focus on the fact that God reigns in our lives. So how do we regain our moral compass? We want to focus on the good. How do we do that? What is it that we need to focus on? Well, all summer long, we've been in the book of Proverbs, and we've been talking about the wisdom that God provides for us, the ways, the paths that he gives us. We're told in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13, "All who fear the Lord will hate evil." What does it mean to fear the Lord? We don't like to talk about that very much. I mean, we love to talk about that. We love to say, you know, fear God, you know, the fear of God is the beginning of all wisdom. I love the scene in in Evan Almighty, when Evan is running from God and he's sitting in his car and God appears in the back seat and Evan screams and says, don't worry, that's the beginning of all wisdom. I love that. Fear is the beginning of all wisdom, but we don't talk about that. In America, we don't want to talk about the vengeful, angry God. We want to talk about the love all the time. Well, you know what happens when the only thing you ever talk about God is the love of God and you never focus on any of his other aspects? What you get is a declawed lion. We've taken the claws out of our lion and we've tried to tame him. We take God and we turn him into a teddy bear. We turn him into a cosmic butler that's here to do our bidding. You know, I've seen the Facebook posts. Many of you probably have. Mel hasn't, because he doesn't do Facebook. But this Facebook post that say, post this in the next 60 seconds and God will bless you. Really? So God is sitting up, like I can imagine, God is sitting at the, you know, he's sitting up there on his throne and he's got his apple out and he's looking. All right, shared, okay, blessings. Oh, he didn't share it. Curses on him. God is not your cosmic butler. He is not here to do your bidding. There's a very famous preacher. A lot of people really like this guy. His church draws thousands of people every Sunday. I one time just decided, I was flipping channels, and I decided I was going to listen to what the man had to say. I lasted about 30 seconds before I changed the channel. This man, he's very famous because he smiles a lot. I'm trying not to use his name because I'm trying not to be that guy. But he gets up and he starts to preach and he says, God wants to do favors for you. God wants you to be happy. If there's a promotion that you want, pray to God. He's going to give it to you because your happiness is his main goal. I said, what? So when John the Baptist was sitting in prison and he's like, hey, God, you know, can you spring me from this? Because this is not really where I want to be. And then he gets beheaded. It doesn't match with that theology at all. When Paul goes and preaches the gospel and they beat him almost to the point of death on multiple occasions, do you think every time he's getting hit with that rod, he's thinking, man, this is awesome? I'd be thinking, ow, stop it. But we want to turn God into this teddy bear who is here to do our favors. His wife, not God's, the preacher's wife, got up on stage and she said this. If you really want to see the clip, you can go on my Facebook page. It's titled, This Makes My Brain Hurt. She gets up and she says, don't do good because God wants you to do good. Do good because it makes you feel good. Don't go to church because it's what God wants you to do. Go to church because it's what makes you feel good. Guess what? That's what happens when you declaw a lion. You're kidding me, right? You're going to stand up in front of 1,000 people and say that just come to church because it makes you feel good. God doesn't care if you feel good. God cares about his glory and his name being proclaimed. You know, when it comes to fearing God, it's a concept that's difficult for us to understand. I can remember my mom's dad died before I was ever born, so I never met him. But apparently I'm just like him, but I never met him. I grew up with a step-grandpa, thinking my entire life that was my grandpa, until probably I was about 13 or 14, I realized this dude is not my real grandpa. And I can remember, I was about 4, and he took me to the park. And we're at the park, and I'm on the merry-go-round, and he's spinning the merry-go-round, and I'm 4, so what's the most fun thing to do on a merry-go-round is to jump off. So I jump off the merry-go-round, and my grandpa looks at me and says, Matt, I don't want you jumping off the merry-go-round anymore. So I get back up on the merry-go-round, and he's spinning the merry-go-round. What do you think I do? I jump off the merry-go-round. And I hit the ground, and my grandpa looks at me. Now, he knows he's not my real grandpa, but I don't. And he looks right at me and says, Matt, if you do that one more time, I'm going to spank you. The gauntlet had been thrown. There was no way that my grandpa, the man who loves me, He buys me candy bars. He takes me to the park. He pops me popcorn every Sunday when we're at his house. Look at all the things my grandpa does for me. There is no way that my loving grandpa is going to spank me. So I get back up on the merry-go-round, and my grandpa starts spinning the merry-go-round. And what do? I jump off the merry-go-round. And what does my grandpa do? He belts me right there. About a year later, some friends came over, and my mom had this wall of pictures. And I was explaining who all the people in the pictures were because my mom was finishing up cooking. I have no idea where my dad was. So I'm explaining who all the people in the pictures are. And I get to his picture, and I said, and that's my grandpa that spanked me. You see, I learned to fear my grandpa. My grandpa told me, if you do this again, I'm going to spank you. I learned to fear him. Not because I was afraid of him. I learned that when he said, this is what's going to happen, that was what was going to happen. Because he loved me. He didn't have to love me. I wasn't his grandkid. I am not the most lovable person sometimes. Quit laughing, Jennifer. But he loved me enough to back up his words. Now, God's the same way. God says things. People say, a loving God would never send people to hell. Yes, he would. My loving grandpa spanked me. Why? Because he wanted to see me turn into a man, not a grown boy walking around. He wanted to see me grow. You know, fear is the beginning of wisdom, but love is its completion. I grew up fearing my grandpa. I didn't want to do what displeased him because I didn't want to get a spanking. That turned into, I don't want to displease my grandpa because I love him. That's what we have as Christians. It might start off with, I'm not going to do this sin because God does not want me to do this sin, and hell is a possible outcome from this. When Chris was first talking about wanting to get baptized, I said, Chris, why do you want to get baptized? He said, because I don't want to spend eternity in hell. That's a pretty good reason. Now, through time, we worked on that. It's not only I don't want to spend eternity in hell, it's I want to spend eternity with Jesus. See, fear is the beginning of wisdom, but love is its completion. Why are we supposed to fear the Lord? Jesus tells us in Matthew 10, don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body. They cannot touch your soul. Fear only God, who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Why do we fear God? Because he's the only thing worthy of our fear. If you spend your whole life fearing God, you never get to know his love, though. We have to move from the fear of God to the love of God. We have to understand both at all times. We have to move from, I don't want to sin because it would hurt God, or I don't want to sin because God would hurt me, to I don't want to sin because it would hurt God. We need to find that compass in our life. Wisdom is a great way to get this. Solomon goes on in Proverbs to say, choose my instruction rather than silver, and knowledge rather than pure gold. For wisdom is far more valuable than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare to it. You know, I think it's funny when you compare Proverbs 7. Proverbs 7 is about a woman, and Proverbs 8 is about a different woman. If you spend time comparing the woman of Proverbs 7 to the woman of Proverbs 8, the woman of Proverbs 7, we talked about her last week, she's the one that seduces and hurts. She's the one whose bedchamber is the chamber of death. The woman of Proverbs 8 is the woman of wisdom. It's amazing today how many people choose the woman of Proverbs 7. She's pretty. She's attractive. We want to be with that person. But that person ends up leading us to the grave. Solomon says that wisdom is better than pure gold, that silver and rubies cannot compare, and that we can't even fathom what it will be like. A friend once asked me what it's going to be like to be in heaven. He said, Matt, what is heaven going to be like? And I looked right at him and I said, Paul, I have no idea. He said, what? I said, think of it this way. When you held your baby daughter for the very first time, could I have explained to you the joy, the emotions, everything that went into that first moment of holding your child for the first time? He smiled and he looked at me and said, there's no way you could have explained that to me. I said, no, but you knew it was going to be good, right? I said, yeah. I said, that's heaven, dude. Can I explain to you everything that goes into it? No, because I don't think the words exist. I do not believe our human understanding can grasp it. But I can tell you this. I want to be there. And I know that full well. Wisdom brings us things we can't even imagine. You know, it's funny, Jennifer and I have this conversation often. Growing up, our parents' marriages weren't always the best. Sometimes there was some friction and some problems that happened. In my family, it was usually because my sister or I had done something really stupid, and it caused friction between my parents. We grew up knowing that parents fight. When we got married, we expected that those things were going to continue. Now, don't get me wrong, she and I still fight. But we oftentimes tell each other, I had no idea marriage was going to be this awesome. I had no idea because I thought it was all fight, fight, fight all the time. I had no idea how cool it was going to be to marry my best friend. How cool it was going to be that when there's something going on in my life, she's the one I want to share it with. When I have a migraine, this is her favorite, one of her favorite nicknames. When I have a migraine, I just want to be around her. I tell her that she's my favorite medicine. Because just being around her reduces my stress and it makes me feel better. I had absolutely no idea that marriage was going to be like that. When I got down on my knee and I asked her to marry me, I had no clue. Solomon says the same thing. You have no clue how awesome wisdom is. Solomon finishes up chapter 8 with these words. And so, my children, listen to me. For all who follow my ways are joyful. Listen to my instruction and be wise. Don't ignore it. Joyful are those who listen to me, watching for me daily at my gates, waiting for me outside my home. For whoever finds me finds life and receives favor from the Lord. But those who miss me injure themselves. All who hate me love death. What is it that we're really seeking? We're really seeking life. The life that's promised to us. Jesus says about himself in John 10, the thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. But my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. What is the rich and satisfying life that we have to look forward to? The rich and satisfying life that we have to look forward to is that John the Baptist and Paul knew. They had a rich and satisfying life in that they knew they had devoted it to the only purpose worthy of our time and energy. They were devoted completely to God. They were devoted to him because he was devoted to them. You know, there's this Christian word that we throw around a lot. We love to talk about being redeemed. Sean, what does it mean to be redeemed? To be bought. We call ourselves redeemed all the time. We are redeemed of the Lord. That means that you have been bought. That means that you are a slave. Who do you want to be a slave to? Do you want to be a slave to sin that leads to death? Or do you want to be a slave to Jesus who died for you in your place? Paul tells us in Galatians, but Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law, when he was hung on the cross, he took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoing. You see, we're the ones that messed up the relationship. We're the ones that screwed it up. He's the one that fixed it. Sin deserves death. For us to be forgiven, something has to die. Jesus died for all of us, paying the price for everything we have ever done. And the thing that slays me, that really gets me to the core, is that Jesus knew how stupid I was going to be, and he died for me anyway. Jesus knew all of the sins that I would commit, and he died for me anyway. How do we regain our moral compass? We set ourselves on Jesus. He's the only thing worthy. He's the only thing worth it. We're going to take time right now to sing a song. I want to extend to you an invitation. If you're sitting here and you're thinking, I really want that in my life. I really need to focus everything and all that I have on Jesus. I invite you to come forward. Now's the time to devote yourself to Jesus. Please stand.